Anna Gasteyer from Saturday Night Live. She has an amazing voice, and she goes on tour throughout the holiday season. That one is called Sugar and Booze. There you have it. Sugar and Booze. Let's say hello to Mayor Bob Bonetza. How you doing, Mayor?
Doing great, Mary Ellen. How are you?
I'm well.
Didn't quite expect to be singing about booze this early in the morning.
I know. I got to ask, like when the Weather Channel comes to town, do they alert the city or they just show up, don't they?
Well, they kind of just showed up.
Yeah.
I guess because I had a message on my phone.
Oh, you did?
Saying from the people at the Weather Channel, say, hey, would you like to talk? Well, you know, totally unannounced. I had no idea.
And yeah.
It didn't work out for me, so I didn't. But
right.
Yeah, they were here, and I'm not sure what they did.
Well, they took a lot of footage. That's what they did.
Took
some
live shots and such. And
yeah.
So, thank you, but
it'd
be nice if we'd known they were coming.
Yeah, I know. I know. Especially after a holiday week, when you're on a holiday week, people are out of town. People need to know. I just assume they just sort of show up. They stay at a local hotel and they do their thing.
Apparently, that's what they did.
Because yeah.
I had a message on my phone and I got it kind of later on, and I was like, oh. Well, that was nice.
I got to tell you, kudos to the Road Commission and the City of Grand Haven. When I came in, everything was clear. I mean, I know there's side streets they got to work on. They got to do another pass and stuff, but the crews are out there getting it done.
They were, and we got a lot of snow, and it was all wet, heavy snow.
I know.
And so it was a lot of work to move it, and of course, our parking, the parking permit, or the overnight parking ban hadn't gone into play yet, because that's today that's
That was in my news, too,
this morning, and so they're trying to plow around, park cars on the streets, so that just made it that much harder.
Yeah.
And then the stuff was so wet and heavy, and overnight again last night, it all froze again, so everything that was sloppy and slushy yesterday is hard as a rock now.
I think tonight and tomorrow is when we're going to see, we might have school closings tomorrow. I'm just throwing it out there because 3 to 7 inches are possible,
more. They're cautious about that.
Yeah.
In town here, we think, well, why are they closing the road, or why are they closing the schools? Well,
yeah.
So roads are all passable here, but you get out of town away.
Oh, I know.
Some of those subdivisions and some of those rural areas, it's just harder. And so,
when you're down here, down here, it's like a whole different world. Like I'm in my own Christmas village down here.
Yeah, and you don't want to put kids at risk.
No.
So they're cautious about that. Yep. I mean, we all us old timers like to say, when we were young, we went to school in all kinds of conditions.
Yeah, we did a lot of stupid things.
Yeah, I had to walk uphill both ways, all that kind of stuff.
I bought cigarettes for my dad when I was 7. I mean, we did a lot of things when we were younger.
Yeah,
that doesn't mean it was right.
Finished off all the stuff that was left in the beer bottles, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
That was a bit.
You got a meeting tonight. Now, at 7 you meet for, what is this, the audit?
Okay, so we had our audit.
Had the audit, okay.
The audit is done every year in the summer. It's usually done because our fiscal year runs from July 1st to June 30th.
Uh-huh.
And so after June 30th, then we close the books on the previous fiscal year, have the auditors come in, they go through everything, they look at all our books, they look at our processes, procedures, the outcomes, how things were booked, and whether or not it was done properly. And they're really looking at the process and procedure. They're not so much looking at whether we follow good policy or whether we make wise choices. They're looking at were things booked correctly? Does it follow good practices? Do we have the right amount of money in our general fund for proper precautions and such? Do things make sense? And they give us a good clean audit. A good clean audit, and they said our taxable values in the city went up about 6%, which is good.
Okay.
Our general fund, and I don't know if you recall, but a couple of years ago when we adopted the budget for the fiscal year that just closed, we had said we're going to do some extra projects. We had some extra money in our general fund.
I do remember this.
And we had some projects that had been kind of kicking around for a long time because we hadn't pulled the trigger on them because we were waiting. We didn't have the money. We said, well, we got some extra money, about $1.5 million worth of projects we did. And so this was the fiscal year that just got audited, and our general fund actually grew just slightly, even though we spent this extra money, because our estimates for expenditures were very conservative, our estimates for revenues were pessimistic. All these things that you go and goes into a budget, it's not like a lot of businesses the way they budget things. It's more like we want to make sure all of our expenses and their services and everything are covered. So we make all these estimates and projections to set our budget, and then quite often it comes out better. Well, in this case, it did. It came out better. A couple of things didn't quite get done in that fiscal year, so there might be a few more bills to come in. But we actually showed a very slight increase in our general fund. And so all in all, it was a good audit. The auditors were very happy with the way the finance department, you know, mm-hmm. Emily Green is their finance director, and of course Ashley Latch and her crew.
Yeah.
They all run a very tight ship, and they did a very good job with it.
That's good to hear.
We got a good, clean audit with all positive information in it.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot to be very happy about with that.
Well, good. That's good.
So we'll hear some of that detail.
Yeah.
Council members will have a chance to ask questions about it.
Mm-hmm.
We met as an audit review committee a couple weeks ago and looked at it and said, yeah, it was looking good. It didn't have any particular questions
mm-hmm.
or concerns. So.
All right.
So that'll be our 7 o'clock work session.
Okay.
And then we'll roll into our regular meeting at 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
And we really don't have a real heavy agenda.
No,
this
you
time
don't.
Around.
I'm seeing that.
So
yeah.
Yeah, we're going to get an update from Jerry Troke of the Musical Fountain Committee.
Awesome.
He's going to talk about how things went this past year.
Yeah.
All the new music they've had choreographed.
Amazing what they've been able to do.
Because they've got a lot of volunteer choreographers.
Yeah.
Brad Boyink has come up with a program to help choreographers do a good job, and he's
mm-hmm.
trained a lot of people.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of volunteers turning music into fountain shows.
Every single note has a different thing that the fountain does.
Well, they say it takes an hour to 2 hours for every minute of run of the fountain.
It's unbelievable to me, the amount of work. And it's all on a volunteer basis.
Well, every tenth of a second, you can tell the fountain to do something different. So
Isn't that something?
You can break it down that finely.
Oh, my gosh. There's
the physics of water shooting in the air and falling back down that takes a certain amount of time.
Sure.
But still, the lights are very fast because they're all LEDs. Because
you change
all the colors and the patterns very quickly. The music is very responsive.
I know.
So, yeah, they have a lot of features that they can program.
Oh, yeah.
And they had so much new music this past summer that they didn't repeat any shows. You know, they had new shows every night. So
Some of the same songs, but... Yeah, but still.
A different composition.
Yeah, that's pretty cool.
That's a lot of material.
Mm-hmm.
A lot different from the old days.
Yeah.
And next year, they'll be doing relighting of the fountain. They're going to change the LEDs out to...
I heard about that.
Better, brighter, more varied LEDs. And last time I was over there for our work session, for our maintenance session, they had all these LEDs sitting in cardboard boxes down in the pump house.
Waiting
to go in. So
yeah.
I assume that's going to be a spring project.
Very cool.
Because they showed up like in September, October time frame.
Mm-hmm.
So they're all there waiting for work. So we'll get an update from Jerry.
I look forward to hearing that. I really appreciate Jerry and everything that he does for the fountain.
They do a lot of work in that committee.
Yeah, they
does
do.
Work all the volunteers, they're really committed to that.
Yeah,
and
they are.
It's really quite a facility up there if you ever get up to have a chance to go look at it.
I'm going to have to. This spring I'm going to have to get over there and really take a look at it. Yeah.
Yeah, it's part of it is built in 1962 and part of it is really new.
That's
so
amazing.
It's just amazing what they've been able to do with
it
all this
sure is.
Stuff. So the pumps that are up there came from the original water filtration plant.
Wow.
And they're like 90 years old.
Wow.
But we rebuilt two of them in the past couple of years, and another one's scheduled to be rebuilt, so we'll keep them running.
There you go.
Very robust.
There you go.
And then we've got a memorandum of understanding with Ottawa County for a data sharing service.
This
Nexus, LexisNexis. They share data back and forth between police agencies.
Oh, okay.
So that's good. We'll all share in the cost in that.
Sure.
And then, you know, we're going to receive our financial statements.
Yep.
Just two items of new business. We're going to adopt an updated 2025 to 2030 forest management plan.
Okay.
So we adopted a plan in 2022, which has various features, and it was the first forest management plan we'd had. And it had various pillars, features, important things in it that we wanted to focus on. And, you know, treatment of the tree diseases and all that kind of stuff that we're doing. The deer management plan we just recently passed a resolution on is a part of that, trying to get regeneration of the forest. So this is kind of an update and looking forward over the next 5 years, what we're going to focus on. And, you know, like the tree disease stuff is never ending. That's going to be something we have to deal with from now on.
Is that part of the park and rec committee that you have, or do you have a separate?
This was an outgrowth from the Sustainability and Energy Commission.
Got it. Okay.
Which is an ad hoc group that reports to the city manager.
Yep. Okay.
The Parks and Rec Board focuses more on scheduling uses of the parks.
Got it. Okay.
Recreational facilities in our parks.
Okay.
And so this is a little bit different group.
This is a 5-year plan.
This would be a 5-year plan.
Yeah.
And, you know, they have been heavily focused on what they call their 200-acre urban forest within the city, which is Mulligan's Hollow, the cemetery, and Duncan Woods. And there's other forested areas within the city. This has been their focus so far. So we may see that they're going to broaden that a little bit, or maybe just focus on the problems they have there, because the problems we have in that area are pretty large.
Yeah.
We're really losing quite a few trees.
Really?
And there's not much coming back. And so that's the problem. So that'll be an update. And then this grant application for Michigan Infrastructure Office for $50,000. What that is there's a project out there about 3 or 4 years down the road, probably I think it's in 2029, for to rebuild part of Grant Street over on the east side of town, basically from the highway over to Beach Street. And so that's, I think it's a 2029 project. Well, this would be a grant for some of the preliminary design, get start lining up all the information you need, figure out what infrastructure you have to rebuild and all that. So, so that would be some money that we're going to apply for to help with that engineering work.
Good.
So that's looking ahead. So we're always trying to stay ahead of these things.
Yeah.
You know, next year we'll have our Columbus Street project. We just finished.
I was just going to ask you about next year.
Yeah, we just finished our Fulton Street project. Next year, Columbus Street from 4th Street all the way up to Beacon. And then immediately following that would be the 7th Street rebuild.
Wow.
Which would be from Franklin Street going north up to where it intersects the highway. And there'll be a full streetscape and rebuild.
Wow.
So there's a lot going on.
You think?
So we have to try to stage these things, phase them in, and be prepared.
I know.
And we're trying to line up all the money, too.
Wow. Somebody mentioned putting windmills on Harbor Island. Somebody just said that's what they should do.
Oh, wind turbines.
Electrical
generators.
Yep, yeah. That's what somebody said, that they should put them on Harbor
Every
Island.
Every time somebody says windmill, I think about the windmills that grind green.
I know.
No, wind turbines, well, you know.
Somebody said that you should ask the mayor about that. I'm like, all right, I can do that.
Well, anything, because we've had a lot of proposals to put solar panels out there.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't be a bad place for something like solar panels, because they're low profile. Wind turbines might be a possibility. They might do better on, you get some wind there coming up the channel from the river, but you're also kind of hemmed in by some of the dunes and such, so it'd have to be pretty large.
Yeah.
But the problem is that we're still several years away from being able to use that land for anything.
I know.
We're still doing the remediation work. We just finished, one of our accomplishments this year was to get closure on the old coal yard.
Yeah.
We just removed all the coal contaminated material, put some grass on that to stabilize it.
That's got to feel so good to have that
done.
Yeah,
we may or may not have to revisit that site because of the underlying trash.
Yeah.
It's part of the old dump.
Mm-hmm.
We're hoping we don't have to dig that up.
Yeah.
But other parts of the island where the Sims plant was and where the coal ash ponds were and all that, that was on top of the old city dump. And that's where some of this PFAS contamination, heavy metals, some of the other material is. And hopefully we'll know by next spring what we have to do with that.
Yeah.
We've been working on this, gathering lots of information. We're still years away from building anything on the island.
I know.
So if we did want to have something more than just grass and in wetlands area, we would have to make sure that we aren't going to have to tear it all out.
Well, that's just it.
If you build it now and then you have to tear it out, it's like a big waste of money. So
yeah.
We're not going to figure on what we're going to do with that until we know what the island will be like after remediation.
Okay.
I think we did an outreach a year ago asking the community, what would you like to see on Harbor Island? And by far what people wanted to see was passive uses such as park-like uses or natural areas or places where people could just walk on trails. So that was by far the preference. And so putting other facilities on there, you might have areas where you could put something.
Yeah.
We want to carefully visit that, but the chances of us actually putting something there is probably years away.
I know. Isn't that something?
And who knows what'll be the next thing that people would like to see. But that's something. There is certainly a need for generation within Lower Michigan, and whether or not we have generation in town or not, when we took down the Sims plant and abandoned the diesel plant, that was our only generation other than emergency generators on different facilities.
Right.
So, there might be a possibility to put in some kind of a renewable generation facility somewhere. But the city doesn't have a lot of land to put this stuff on.
Right.
And we're not a big city. We're pretty well built out. So finding those locations without compromising other things that people like the natural areas and the natural beauty, you know, it's a balancing act.
Yes, it is, my friend. It's a balancing act playing all these holiday tunes, too, because you don't want to play five versions of the first Noel back to back, right?
Well, that's true. You know,
is your tree up?
After a while, it sounds like you're in a supermarket listening to all the music.
It does, doesn't it? Yes. Your Muzak. Is your tree up yet?
No, we haven't taken the tree out of the box yet.
You haven't done that yet?
No, my wife has a little tree. It's about a foot and a half tall. She gets it out every year, plugs it in.
Very nice.
Puts it on a card table, and that's our Christmas tree.
There you go. Jingle Bell Parade on Saturday. We'll see you out there. Thanks for stopping, and I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Mayor Bob Menezes.